Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is program number 30. Welcome into our show, and this will be part two of my talk with Malia Bender from Sudbury, Canada. Last week on the show, Malia talked about growing up with a visual impairment, losing her vision at age 16, dropping out of college and going to Canada to marry, and then she had two daughters and divorced. Then she married another gentleman, and they were married for 15 years before he passed away from cancer. Now Malia is married again. She's employed at the Canadian Institute for the Blind and has a very active life. My interview with Malia continues right where we left off last week.
I've had four guide dogs along the way, some of which have been, there for the whole time that they've worked, and some of which had to retire a bit early due to various things. And now I'm in between, and I don't know when I'm going to get another one. I think I need a break for a while. My last dog had to retire early due to health considerations, and I just, if any of my I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had issues with different, guide dogs along the years and stuff like that. Man, it's just so hard when you have to retire them early and go on, just get back to work and do everything. So I'm not ready to do the other dog thing quite yet. We'll see what happens. But it's also, kind of challenging too if you think about it. This especially this day and age when everybody's going into smaller vehicles and the buses are more crowded and stuff like that. Try to get two people and two large guide dogs in a cab. It's that's not easy to do.
No, not at all.
So I don't know. He has my husband Rob's dog is great. He has a big black lab, and he's very mellow and very mild, and I get to spoil him. So we're not without a dog in our lives. So I'm okay not having one right now. But my girls are good. They both made successes out of their lives as well, even with all the bumps and stuff along the way. My youngest, she was in Montreal for a while, and she was working as a pet groomer, and she always loved animals. My oldest, after going to university and then taking a couple of years of college as well, that's kind of confusing for those of you who are listening from the States. University up here is 4-year school, and college is like community college, 2-year school. So she did both. She went to university first and majored in English and psych and was going to be a teacher, and then couldn't quite make the grades to go to teacher's college. So she decided to use the English that she had and go into publishing, and she's now working for a magazine down in Oakville. So both the kids are doing really well. My youngest moved back to Sudbury, and she's working at the Independent Living Resource Center, which is like a kind of a drop-in and computer center for people with various types of disabilities. And eventually she wants to train service dogs. That's what she would like to do. And she's only 23, so she's got her whole life ahead of her. And my oldest
now,
Are both of your girls
sighted?
Yes. My youngest daughter does have a learning disability, which, although not, severe, really severe, but it has held her back a little bit as far as, doing things academically and stuff like that. She's definitely a type of person that likes to be very active, and I was really surprised when she took a desk job or an office job, but she's really doing well at it, and she loves the center. So it's nice. It's nice to know that everybody is kind of settled a little bit now. This has been the nicest, really, 3 or 4 years of my life as an adult, you know, as far as, like not having any really big hurdles to climb and stuff like that. It's been good. Not that my job isn't challenging, because it is, but it's been nice. I've been able to do some things these last couple years. Rob and I both really love to travel, and I've been some places that I never even dreamed of going when I was in my 20s. So, I mean, we've been on a cruise, and we've been to the Bahamas, and I couldn't even imagine myself doing that stuff way back when. You know, the hippie with the backpack and the guitar? Nah, I don't think so. It wasn't going to the Bahamas cruise, that's for sure.
Right.
So, I've had a lot of maybe what people would call bad things happen, or, you know, not so great things happen in my life, some of which the challenges have come that some of them I've added to myself. I mean, nobody forced me to come to Canada, you know, and I quit college and stuff like that. I did that all on my own. So, you know, that's and I don't regret it. I really don't regret it. But,
Let's go back to the teenage years real quickly here. I'm going to make an assumption here, you're a Braille reader.
Yep.
When did you learn Braille?
I learned Braille. I started to learn it in elementary school. They thought it would be a really good idea. Again, you know, forethought and planning. My folks must have really fought some battles back in those days. I know I was, at the first anyway, I'm sure that I was the only partially sighted person in that public school system. There were others later on who were there, but I'm pretty sure I was the first. I started school in 1964 or 65, and there really weren't that many. I don't know, not in my area anyway. I've since, after listening to people on the net, I know that there were more people attending public school back then than I ever thought that there were. But that's the thing with you know, when you're blind or visually impaired and you're in a public school, and before the days of the internet, they're really the first blind kids I ever saw, ever, you know, like in a group, were when I went to camp in Vermont when I was like 11 years old. I went to what's the name of it? Camp Wapanaki. It was up in Vermont. Kids from all over the states and Canada, and I think they had a few foreign exchange students, and it was, a lot of us were sponsored by Lions Clubs and such. And that was the first time I really had any contact with blind people at all, you know. So other than a few older people that were in our community, that's the only people I'd ever seen, you know. So, and that's another thing, too. I'm not saying that, you know, I just think I was lucky because I got a mixture of both. I got to have sighted friends and blind friends. So, you know, some kids grew up with either or. I got to have both. So I'm pretty lucky there.
You mentioned earlier that the divorce of your parents when you were about 12 years old was really hard on you.
Yeah.
What was it like for you then when you were an adult and you went through a divorce in your first marriage?
I struggled with it immensely. The marriage that I had, without blaming or going into a lot of detail, the person that I came to Canada with and married, we had a lot of fun, okay? But when it came time for having kids, settling down, having a family, he just wasn't into it. I mean, it just wasn't. His philosophy was, you know, basically live day to day, you know, and survive. And that was great when you were 19 or 20 years old and you were, you know, going from job to job and you know, living the free life and stuff like that. But as soon as I became a parent, as soon as I became pregnant, I was like, no, the fun's over. That's it. I'm done. I've got to settle down now because I've got somebody I got to take care of. I had really good parents. They brought me up to be responsible, you know, and take responsibility for my actions. And, you know, so I knew that from then on I had to settle down. And I had to, you know, that was the end of the party time kind of thing. So I did that. He didn't. And we struggled with it for quite a few, you know, quite a few years there, and just couldn't get along. So we parted ways. I needed somebody to help me raise my kids. I didn't need anybody. Yeah, having fun was great, but you know, I needed a dad. So, you know, we parted ways. But yeah, I've struggled with it a lot. The thing was, back in the 60s and in my neighborhood, my parents are working class people, or they came from working class, you know. We lived in a kind of a middle class suburb area around the town of Binghamton, New York, which is kind of near Pennsylvania, southern New York, and it's near the Catskill Mountains and such. And so it was a suburb area, and there were like, as far as I knew, I know now that there were more people going through a lot more issues. But as I said, when you're a kid, as far as I knew, we were the only kids on that street, in that neighborhood, in that school, whose parents were divorced, you know. And I know that's not true now, but back then it sure seemed like it, because all the people I hung around with and stuff like that, their moms and dads weren't getting divorced. And my relatives, my aunts and uncles weren't getting divorced. So, you know, we just felt that it was really, you know, something just, I'm not blaming anybody. It was really an upheaval in our family. So we all eventually got settled in. Me and my younger brother lived with my dad. My older siblings are quite a bit older than I am. They're 6 and 7 years older than I. There's 4 in our family. I have a sister, an older brother, and a younger brother. And so we stayed with my dad. My mom married another individual, and we had also the other part of it too. You know, talk about blended families nowadays. Mm-hmm. Well, there were blended families, and oh boy, that blending really can cause some difficulties. it can sure be a blender for sure. But so there were difficulties with step parents and step siblings, and you know, just all that stuff was going on. And right in the middle of that, I lost my vision. You know, so it was really kind of a hard period of time. Adolescence was not easy.
You probably wanted to pull your hair out.
Did. Actually, I just grew it longer.
There you go.
You know, I did a lot of stuff. The people at the State School for the Blind, if any of them are ever listening to this, any of those house parents or teachers, I gotta say, man, I gave them a real rough time. I did. I was not a good kid. I wasn't an easy kid at the, you know, I really just wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, it was, when you're living in a dorm like that, and, you know, you got a whole bunch of kids to take care of, I sure wouldn't have wanted a little girl like me to, a little rebel like me to mess up things and get things started. I wasn't the baddest kid in the place, but I sure wasn't I sure caused some trouble, that's for sure.
You weren't the one wearing the angel wings.
No, I wasn't. you know, I was the kid that my senior year, especially junior and senior year, I don't know if they've changed the whole school by now. I think it's I heard about some difficulties back a couple years ago they were having, and I know they've changed it in a total residential facility for kids with multiple types of disabilities. But anyway, when I was there, one of the things that I loved to do, I got one of the end rooms on the dorm, and there were some older kids that I had met up in camp in Vermont that happened to go to community college, some blind, some partially sighted, whatever. And they were going to college in the same town, and they were living right down the street. And they were like, you know, 18 and up, and they were legal drinking age. The drinking age was 18 back then. And, oh, man, that end room had a rock under the window. I was gone. As soon as bed check, I was so gone out the window. I had a lot of fun my last year of school, a lot of fun that nobody ever knew about. Or maybe they did, and they just didn't turn me in a lot. I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. And that was probably the, you know, as far as breaking rules go, I was pretty... I tried to break them, but not get into too much trouble at the same time, because my dad was pretty strict too. So if I really pushed it, I knew I was going to get it at home as well as at school. So, you know, I tried not to push the outer limits too terribly much.
I'm Steve Bauer. You're listening to The Challenge on ACB Radio Mainstream. My guest this week is Malia Bender from Sudbury, Canada. We're talking with her about her life experiences growing up here in the States and then suddenly taking off and moving to Canada. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is challenge8255@gmail.com. That's challenge8255@gmail.com. My interview with Malia continues. Some of our chats before we actually went on the air, we were talking about traveling, and you were saying that this really presents some challenges for a blind couple to travel.
Yes, well, I think it does. The whole guide dog issues that I mentioned before, if there's anybody out there who is a blind couple who has two guide dogs, is using two guide dogs, I wouldn't mind hearing from them. I really wouldn't, because I would like to get another dog, but I sure can't figure out with vehicles shrinking. Our gas prices up here are $1, what is it now? Today, I believe it was $1.26 a liter, and there are, 4 or 5 liters in a gallon?
Oh, my
so
goodness.
You're talking, yeah, I know. You're talking, $5, $6 a gallon of gas. Cabs up here in Sudbury, when you sit in a cab, the meter automatically goes to $5.25. Okay, so you don't want to take cabs too much if you can avoid it.
Okay.
Greyhound buses, the tickets up here have gone sky high as well, and they're very crowded. We don't get our extra seat. You can either, the driver gives you the choice. You can either put your dog in the aisle, or, well, like we did the last couple times traveling down to see his parents, sit two to the seat with the poor dog all scrunched up, or you wait for the next bus, because the bus is full, and that's that. And when you're traveling, 11 hours to go and see parents and get to holidays and stuff like that, you just put up with it. I don't like it. The dog is uncomfortable. We're uncomfortable. And people can say, well, you should, stand up for yourself and stuff like that. And that's all well and good. But when you've got one bus that's leaving from Sudbury at that specific time, and you've got people meeting you at the other end to drive you into their town, which is not, in the major city center, so you've got people, coming 2 or 3 hours drive from their home to meet you in, say, London, Ontario, or someplace like that, you don't take the next bus because it confuses everybody. It gets everybody, you plan these things out to the umpth degree, but pretty well. I found out that it takes a lot of planning, that whatever we do, wherever we go, it just takes that planning. When you have a partner who is sighted, to a certain extent, not always. I'm not saying I didn't travel alone or by myself but when you have somebody that can drive with you, it's more spontaneous. You can just say, hey, I want to go to the movies tonight, and you just go. Or I want to go on vacation. We used to do a lot of camping with the kids, we had a camper trailer, and we used to go, out to provincial parks and things like that. So it was more spontaneous. Hey, we want to go camping this weekend? We went. It wasn't, you didn't have to plan it. We just got in the car and went. If we could afford the gas, we could go. Do you see what I mean here?
So traveling to see his parents is a bus trip there in Canada.
Yeah.
But if you want to go see your parents.
Oh my God.
It's airline flights back to the States?
Pretty much. My dad lives in Daytona Beach, Florida. My dad and my stepmom, not right in Daytona Beach, but near Daytona Beach. So yeah, that's a flight. It's a good, it's a day. The closest airport to Daytona is either Orlando or Tampa. So dad has to drive for a couple hours. And my dad's 82 years old, and he doesn't like to drive at night anymore. So again, it's a lot of planning. You have to take a flight from here, and connecting flights from Sudbury to Toronto are, they're not that frequent. So you take whatever you can get, and you connect to from Pearson out. It's not bad. It's there's lots of flights down to, well, there used to be. They've cut a lot of flights recently, so that's the easy part of it is getting a flight from Toronto down to parts of the States. But getting from Sudbury to Toronto can be quite challenging. It's a lot of planning. It really is. It takes a lot. Anybody that travels takes a lot of planning. But I've just found out that for us to get things done and not get stressed about them and stuff, it sounds like I stress a lot, but I've just had to learn over the past several years that you just can't get in a car and go. You got to plan it a little bit more with two blind people. So
absolutely.
And that's a lesson well learned. I feel like now that not only am I in a really comfortable spot in my life, but I think these days I'm probably about as much an independent blind person as I'm ever going to be. I was before, but when you have people that you can rely on, and I did for 15 years. I had my second husband was somebody that really he did a lot, and I could rely on him for he supported me going to school totally, right down to the ground. He was my reader, my driver. He really, really wanted me to get my degree. It was the one thing I would have liked more than anything else, if I could have changed it, which I can't, is for him to have lived long enough to have seen me graduate. That would have been nice.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Because we really worked together to get that degree. The whole family did, actually. But, we really, really worked hard to get that done. It's a different life, and I'm liking it. I love it. It's my three strikes and you're out. My third husband, a computer, what's his title now? High-tech specialist or something like that at CNIB. He really loves his job. I'm not going to speak for him, but we're really doing well together, and I'm really lucky. I've had, two really great guys in my life, and it's really been great. So, and I have two wonderful children, and so even though had a rocky start and a lot of bumps and mountains along the way to climb and stuff, I don't think I've done too bad.
When you took off with that guitar and headed to Canada, music was part of you. Is music still part of you at this time?
A little part. I do it for fun, strictly for fun. I've always been an amateur, really. Yeah, I got paid for it, but I always thought it was more out of, I like to sing. I really like to sing. I don't know. I don't think I have what. I've never really looked into it. I don't think I have perfect pitch. I have, what do they call it, absolute pitch? It's like I can tell when something's not on key, but I can't tell what key it's in. When I'm listening to it, I can't say, oh, that's in C or that's in D. I know what those keys are, but I can't just, And I'm not one of those super musicians who I've met a few of in my lifetime that can listen to a piece once and then play it. I have to practice. I have to work at it. I love it. I mostly now sing a lot at Christmas time and stuff. I love singing for, some of the seniors and kids. I love singing at, like, schools and daycare centers and stuff like that. The singing for the bar, singing in the bars and stuff like that is way far behind me. I don't want to do that anymore. It's just not something I want to do anymore. I like all kinds of music. I sing country and old-time rock and roll, but I love all different kinds of music. So, I still have a couple of guitars, and I have my music stuff set up down in the basement, and I kick around with it, and learn a few new songs now and again, and yeah, it's still a part of me.
Well, we have managed to fill this thing up with your amazing stories. I have one final question, though, for you.
Okay.
Your name, Malia.
Yep.
I was intrigued by that name because I thought it was really pretty. But it has some origins in Hawaii.
That's
Do you have any Hawaiian
said.
Connections?
No. That's what my mom said. My mom said that when she was expecting me, she was on, she was watching television, and she saw someone on the variety show, one of the old variety shows that were popular back in the 50s, early 60s, and I was due to be born in June, and I was born June the 6th, and the little girl's name on this variety show was Junie Malia, so she liked the name so much that I got the Malia, and I was going to be born in June, and my middle name is the same name as my mom's, Rose. That's how I got the name. There's no Hawaiian connection. Our family is a mixture of a little bit of everything, but Irish and Scottish and a little bit of Dutch, and oh my goodness, there's just, my dad came from one of nine kids, and my mom is one of six, and like I said, they both worked when we were growing up. They both worked hard, and they're enjoying their retirements immensely, and I'm so glad that they are able to do that. And so far, we haven't had too many health problems or issues, and I'm just really, really thankful about that so far.
Well, Malia, anyway. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and to share your life story. It's been a real treat talking to you.
Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate you asking me to do this. And like I said, if there's any blind couples or blind moms, I love getting in touch with people that have raised kids or dads or whatever, and want to get in touch. My personal email is Malia, MALIA, at Persona Internet. That's all one word, PERSONA. internet.com. So anybody wants to write to me and give me some travel tips about figuring things out with two guide dogs, I wouldn't mind hearing from them. So, but I appreciate you asking me. Thanks a bunch.
To receive email alerts about the show each week, including information about our guests, send a blank message to challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. That's a blank message to challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream,